This is Sarah Reith with A Place to Call Home, our new series of interviews with people about their experiences of homelessness. Today we'll hear from James David Hoffman. I talked to him on May 11th, a few hours after he got out of jail. He's profoundly hearing impaired, so you might miss a word here and there.
My name is James David Hoffman, Sr., and also known as Jimbo, in town of Ukiah that I've been raised in. I'm 48 years old. I've been homeless for many years. I'm disabled. I'm hearing impaired. I have a gifted because I know sign language. And I didn't start talking until I was 12. No, and I went to a special school for the deaf in Fremont. It's a state school with all three levels of the elementary, grammar, and junior high and high school. I never graduated until 2004 in adult school when I was incarcerated. I've always had a hard time being open and free to let other people to know me, you know, and I'm like to be in clammed up type for many years because when I was raising up, I like to share this with everybody that when I was raising up, being hearing impaired or deaf, it's very complicated for us because we can't hear. And there's a lot of people that can hear, talk, and we can't know what they're saying if you don't know sign language. And it's called deaf culture and hearing culture, two different worlds that we live in. And I had a hard time staying in the deaf culture because I wanted to be better than to be a hearing world type. And when I started talking when I was 12, I started using substance abuse when I was 12 years old, okay? And long story short, I was in San Francisco, ran away from a school, and met a speech therapist that was going to UCSF in San Francisco. She was learning to be a speech therapist. And a very, very bright female. She took me in her home for 6 months. And I never contacted my family or nothing. And 6 months of using methamphetamine or a methamphetamine, which is crank, back in the 80s and 90s, before methamphetamine crystal came out. I was using and I would use all the time and energy to fill her under her spider throat with a voice box did as she talked and tried to repeat everything, you know, word by word, and it went for 6 months. And finally, I decided to come back home. I walked in from my mom's, it was in the front room, and I said, "Hi, Mom," when I walked in the house. And she was like, "Wow." And I told her the whole nine yards, what I've been doing. She wasn't happy, but she was like proud that I'm talking because she never knew sign language when I was younger, either than my dad. It was very complicated of communication problems I was having to realize what's going on in my family and gathering, you know what I mean? Because of all that, I tried to withdraw from being around with the other hearing impaired people and deaf people. I stopped dining. And I see a deaf person, I won't respond back to him or start a conversation because I was like a hearing person, not a deaf person, okay, for many years. I had an issue that I was traumatized around 17 years of age. Okay, I lost my first girlfriend, had a baby girl, and they both were killed when the baby was 9 months old. That was right before 18 years old, and that's when I started to go crazy on narcotic controlled substances. I started off with heroin. Back in the days, Johnny Blush, heroin and cocaine. You know, I'm living on San Francisco on the streets, you know, running around and going back and forth Santa Rosa. I'm going to get transit, being homeless. I wanted to die, you know, because back in the days, I couldn't accept who I am, and I couldn't get a grip of being grateful for Creator making me who I am when I came on the earth. I'm a very hateful person. I tried so many times from 91. I had a son born. I wanted to try to have my kid because I lost my first one. But because I was so scared that Creator would take my child away from me again, I asked my mom to take legal custody of him when he was born. I tried to get help, but because of my stubbornness of accepting my disability and the traumatized I went from the last one, I didn't want to live my life for any reason at that time. And believe it or not, I've tried to OD'd. I have OD'd. I can't say the count exactly, but probably 14 OD'd in my entire life. My last OD was 5 years ago, approximately five years ago. I was in a program in 4th Street here in Ukiah with the AB 109 pop program for parolees to go to a clean and sober living transitional housing and get a job. I started to change my style and be open up and give it a try to not be so hateful. And when I started to feel that experience for the first 9 months I was in the program, I realized that I'm not a bad person. And I have to say that Creator always tells me when I OD, you have to go back. Your job's not done on this earth. I couldn't figure out what that job is. I still don't today, but I'm thinking I'm getting the close clue of it. You know, I got to help somebody. But I never had enough strength to really surrender myself from my addiction problem, because I always think that there's always a better way, which I now know there's no other way that you can do it, make it a life if you're going to use drugs. Because drugs do nothing but destroy people's lives. It destroys mine. I made it that way. I didn't have to do that anymore. Because of my disease and my violence, my anger, I was unaware of how to cope with my anger. I slipped and basically harmed the lady I was with. I regret it to this day. You know, I wish I would never put my hands on any female because we're here for a reason. We're placed here. I've been to San Francisco, I've been to Sonoma County, Mendocino County, Humboldt County, Alameda County. I lived my life being homeless for unpoor reason of choice I had. But I made that choice. And, you know, it's so hard to change that after so many years when people try to help me get to housing. You know, give me a chance to get on my feet to start my life, that I can become who I'm supposed to become, be the person I'm supposed to be. I don't know exactly what it was, but it's like a spiritual awakening for a lot of people in their lifetime in experience. But mine was very experience of that I like to write a book about my life, basically. I've tried, and I start to write it. I've been in prison, state prison, for the crime I committed, and I paid for my crime. You know, I paid the dues in my time for my crimes I committed. You know, I took action, responsibility for my actions. I'm not a bad person. I'm just a confused, disabled, hearing impaired male who's coming to the age of being older, close to 50. I'm 48, and I always tell people I'm going to be 50 because my hair is white. You know, and people think that white hair means wisdom. I believe in Native American belief religious, because my family, but I never could understand the tradition of it, because nobody ever taught me. Because I was doing active in my addiction, using and everything, I knew I couldn't do the tradition of the ceremonies, powwows, and things. But when I was incarcerated in state prison, 2002, on my first strike event that I committed, it was assault with a deadly weapon, DBI. I don't remember exactly why I did it, but I beat a disabled mental health lady who's homeless with a big thick alcohol bottle over on her head. And I put over 40 staples in her head. She was in coma. And I did my time for that. Just because I got wrapped up in my lifestyle of being incarcerated in prison mode, I wanted to be the tough man. Politics, in other words, the prison politics is the thing that people have to realize that they need to change once you're incarcerated. Doesn't matter if you're in prison or jail. Even in program for substance abuse. I have a lot to tell people, and I've always wanted to share. I did share a little bit when I went to elementary school here in Ukiah, York Hill School. I'll never forget that. I was 17 years old before I was traumatized. I went to the elementary school and I told second graders and third graders about my life using drugs and what drugs can do, and told them don't do drugs. And the only reason why I did that because it was a hearing impaired boy in that group that was speaking and gave me the chance to start doing my sign language. And when I started talking, I didn't want to sign no more. American Sign Language is a beautiful language. It took me a long practice to get that back. But because of that, I did that time, I realized, I remember that somewhere in the back of my mind, because it's like a little seed planting, and it grew and never finished growing. It's a little root sprout in my mind somewhere. It's there, waiting for me to pick up where I left off. I just got released from county jail yesterday. I did 7 months. I did something that wasn't a very poor choice that I'd done and committed a crime that I was facing 32 years in state prison because of 3 strikes law. Because of the great attorney I have, the support in the community, and my family, speak up in court to tell the judge before you sent me to state prison. Put me away and throw the keys away. Give me a chance. Because of these beautiful statements that the people gave to the judge, changed that judge, Denny Mayfield's heart that day. I knew I was going to go to prison for 6 years with 85%. And that's like my lifetime there. I can't do it anymore. I've been in prison 3 times in my lifetime, and it's not fun. I'm too old. I'm not young like I need to be. I try not to be a racist person. And it's very hard to do that when you have a politic prison ego over your head. But I got rid of that finally. That was about 5 years ago. On my last prison, I told myself I would never go back to prison. I tried to do my right thing. I OD'd on my last OD, I ended up in the hospital. I took a large quantity of methamphetamine because I thought task force was going to hit my motel room, but they hit the next door neighbor, not my room. And I ate all 3.5 ounces of large crystal meth, and it over-amped me to where I blacked out and I wasn't breathing. Because I opened the door somehow and I blacked out and dropped on a boundary in front of the room, and the officer that hit and raided next door of the motel I was at called for, realized I was down, didn't know what was going on, and they were like, my blood pressure was so high. I'll never forget this. I seen a beautiful angel, and that was my daughter. Ever since my daughter was born, before she passed away, we named her Hummingbird. Hummingbird is a native spiritual animal that I know is very spiritual, gifted. Things that they do on their medicine that we called. Because my little daughter was 9 months old, she would crawl like a speed baby, you know what I mean? Crawling around so fast. She started crawling when she was 4 months. I tried so hard at that time. I quit doing drugs. I started a bike messenger job in San Francisco, living in cheap hotel at the budget, you know, when we were trying to make our life better. They were taken by God because we was in a crossfire. I wanted to go to a death club that was in San Francisco, where the neighborhood is a black and Philippine gang members. We're leaving the club and I heard gun pop, but I didn't realize we're shooting at. But I think my girlfriend, Serena, and Ashley, the baby, lying on the sidewalk. I got so scared because the business I tried to make with drugs, making my fast money style at my first young age, so I could get a better place and start my life with my family. That I had a large amount of money in a backpack she was wearing. When she was on the ground, I tried to cut the strap on the backpack and ran with the backpack and left them there on the sidewalk. I regret for doing that. And I blamed myself. I victimized myself. From that experience, it's very traumatizing. And this is the first opportunity for me to really share this with the study, because I never wanted to open that part up in my life, but I need to. There was a reason for Creator keeping me here alive and not taking me home up to wherever people crossed over, go to heaven, you know, or a spiritual land or whatever they call it. I was brought back alive every time. When I OD'd with that large count of methamphetamine at the motel room, I was in a coma in the hospital for 4 days in Cayo Venez Hospital. I remember waking up after being heart shocked, because my heart stopped. They tried to slow me down by producing some medication that's almost like similar to heroin, and I'm a drug addict. I have to admit it, that I'm a garbage can collector. I take anything I can get my hands on just to numb my feelings and avoid just fully facing the truth of life for many, many years. I've been to 12-step programs since I was 15, and I went to the first juvenile substance abuse program that was in Thomas called the Art House. That came, a program, HG, decided to open a program in Mendocino County for a teenager. I was a role model for them. I was growing up being violent. I was still an angry person, a little child, still angry. Don't know how to control what anger can do. When I exploded, I'm like a dynamite with a very, very, very small tip of a fuse on it that you can't put that fuse out. That dynamite explodes so fast. And that's how dangerous my anger was when I was young. I used to beat up teachers because I would get mad for not understanding what the teacher was in a public school. When I went to South Valley High in high school, after I started getting in trouble in deaf school in Fremont, I got expelled, so I had to go back to school. And so my mom wouldn't get in trouble. And I mean, that's part of the law. So mother had to take me to school. So I started, went to South Valley High, and teacher would talk, write things on the blackboard, and talk. Every other student could hear what the teacher said, but not me. First thing that crossed my mind, I'm gonna get up and walk over and punch that teacher in the back of his head. So turn him around and say, me, look, at me. I need to see your face when you talk. And teachers often forget that they have a disabled student in their classroom. So it wasn't the teacher's fault. It was my responsibility just to speak up. The teacher, don't forget, I need to hear you by reading your lips. But I didn't do that. I beat the teacher. I became violent. There's no reason for anybody to be at violent with the anger that we all have. Anger can be controlled. You know, the tools that we have, you know, I learned through special violent classes, anger management class that I could do, like walk away, take deep breathing, breathing sessions, count numbers. My favorite one was start signing. And signing was to whoever was in front of me, even though they didn't understand me, what I was saying with my hand, because I wasn't using my voice. Like I said, I could write a book about my life, and I have. I started off with my first 27 years of my life on paper. I still have that. It's put away safe, and I've always wanted to try to get it published. Today, I don't hate myself. One holiday, Christmas holiday, I was in Pear Tree Center and telling people, smile, why are you so sad? Because you're going Christmas shopping? It's Christmas. Smile. It's a happy, joyous, free. And when people see me doing that, they go, wow, that's right. Because people come out of doors being grumpy, they have to buy a gift, spend money that they earned for all year round, you know, just to celebrate it on one special day at the end of the year, it's with Christmas. And I see people being founding, but I changed a lot of people in this community. I can't fight anymore. I'm almost an elder. What I believe in is when younger people, like an Indian warrior, would take care of an elder, grandfather, or their father, because they're getting too old. They don't have the energy or the strength to fight war. In August, before I went to jail, I was so scared. I started a program, counseling, started seeing a therapist type person in a nonprofit organization that they provided group counseling, or group session, or however you say that. It was involving with mental health. I knew I needed some kind of therapy. I shared the experience of losing my loved one and my little girl. And been so angry for so many years. Now I'm okay with that. When I see a hummingbird, that's Ashley Nicole Hoffman, that was her full name. And I know she's there watching me give me warning if when I'm putting myself in a spot of being in danger or question of the choices I need to make. You know, remind me, don't go there. And this hummingbird is like an angel that people believe the guardian angel that they have in their life. I think it's going to be okay for me to try this life in a new, better way of living. After I gotten out yesterday, I never felt so good being healthy. Being from 139 pounds to 247 pounds in 6 months, I didn't realize till I saw myself in the mirror how big I am. I never worn clothing any bigger than a large size, 38 waist or 36 mostly. But today I'm wearing 42 waist. I'm okay with that. I'm a little chunky. It's awesome, you know? And I'm gonna use food as my addiction now instead of controlled substances. Because the addiction's never gonna go away. But there's always a way to replace it with better things. Eventually, I'll get a grip of this program in my lifetime that I'm seeking in recovery. I know I'm gonna make it. I want to live what I have. My job is to get clean and maintain what I need to do to have a better life. I don't have to be homeless. I don't need to be dying on streets, being homeless. I want to live in a home where I have time to cross over. You know, it's not easy being in recovery. I've been in programs for so many years, since 16 years old. I know what the 12-step program is about. I know what the program is about. I have to do the footwork. It takes your foot one step at a time forward, not backwards, forward. If you relapse, don't start over. Just pick up where you left off and continue recovery. And that's what recovery is about for a lot of these people that try to teach and share. For a lot of newcomers that come to these meetings for 12 steps, and my time is now. You know, I'm looking forward to this new life. You know, I have to deal with probation. Deal with being on a leash with a little probation, you know, I'm okay with that. It's better than being in prison for 6 years. It's not easy, I say again, but I need support from society. To smile at me, give me a smile. Or smile at a person you see walk by you. Give them a hug. Share your caringness. Or say hello. Greeting, good greeting, communication, body language to another human being is what we need instead of this violence that the world has become. I don't know what more I can say about myself, and that's who I am.
This is Sarah Reith with A Place to Call Home. James Hoffman was arraigned earlier this week on a probation violation. Tune in next Thursday at 1:30 to hear from Donald Damp, a formerly homeless man who now spends several hours a day volunteering to help folks out.